Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this Tuesday morning's Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before we get started with the show, I just want to acknowledge that this broadcast is hosted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hokomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who've been here since time immemorial. And to start off today's episode, I'm going to be playing an interview that I played a couple weeks back, but I wanted to play it again because I believe the deadline for submissions for this installation, art project, expression is going to be closing soon, I think within the next couple of weeks. And I thought it'd be a good idea to play it for all of you. This is my interview with Avon Collins, the creator of this project, titled The Museum of Personal Failures, and it is going to be a real installation in Vancouver soon enough. And the biggest takeaway from this interview is that he really wants your failures. So let's take a listen. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Around the city of Vancouver, mysterious posters have been popping up on everything from street posts to back alley dumpsters, all with the same peculiar message: failures wanted. Upon closer look, the poster is asking for submissions to something called the Museum of Personal Failure, which aims to showcase artifacts of people's failures, anything from job rejection letters to abandoned art projects. Other than an email on the poster, there was no other information to go off of, so CJSF reached out and asked if the person responsible for these posters would be willing to talk. His name is Avon Collins, and he agreed to speak with us about his project, the Museum of Personal Failure. Interestingly enough, our initial attempt for the interview was over a Zoom call and ended up becoming its own sort of failure. Hello? I can't really hear you on my end. There's like a weird distortion, kind of like drilling noise. Yeah. Thankfully, we were able to reschedule and met in person later that day. During our interview, Collins speaks on what inspired him to create the Museum of Personal Failure, when it will launch, and some of the great failures he's been receiving as submissions as of late. Please take a listen.
This one is, yeah, just basically, it's a catharsis project. I had a big failure recently, or sort of what I thought was a big failure, and was wanting a bit of like a reminder that it's a universal experience, and so decided to start making posters to soothe my dramatic flair and, you know, individual crisis.
Yeah, and the posters, like, in very big letters say, like, failures wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And have a little bit of information regarding, like, what is going to be happening with these failures, but is that something you're able to go into? Just, like, if people are sending you these moments of failure within their lives, whether it's like a job rejection or something else just going wrong that's been documented, where is that going to go?
It's going to be a real museum.
Okay.
I'm making a real museum. It's going to be temporary, just a couple week installation, but I have a line on a space that I have reserved, and it's going to be a display of sorts that people can come and visit. It'll be free to the public, and I won't say where it will be just yet, but it will be a tangible museum as close as I can create it.
Why are documenting the failures of not just yourself but others, why is that something that's important to you? What drew you to this specifically?
I think that when we fail, or like when we try to do something, it kind of ends up feeling like a very singular experience, you know? Like we feel it's, because it's so like shrouded from the public eye, we hide the things that we don't want others to see about our lives and attempts. It's especially like, I don't know, in the social link, the public image, it's not evident always how many things people are doing that don't quite make it. And I think for me, at least, I want to remember that other people are doing that. And I think I sort of yearn for it to be visible in a way, you know, feel more whole, feel more like, that this is a part of like the human experience that is not just private shame.
Have you been receiving submissions for it so far?
Yeah, actually, a surprising amount. It's been really fun. Lots of rejection letters. People get rejected a lot. Mm-hmm. And like the funny part about that is like lots of people point out the specific language that gets used. Like it's always like sort of softened in this funny way that ends up being sort of like almost humorous, you know? Like so it's like, unfortunately we won't be able to take you, and people are like, just say it. Just like tell me no, just tell me I'm not good enough, you know, like yeah, so lots of rejection letters, lots of art. Artists are excited to show what didn't work, I think. And yeah, it's, I think, also an important part of like the people's process as well, to be like, I tried something and it didn't work, and maybe to have a space for that seems exciting. Some science projects, some like science experiments and endeavors, that's been exciting. And most recently, I've gotten a surge of like repairs that have created new problems. So that's, I've been enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think anyone is short of failures.
No.
It definitely seems like the type of endeavor or space or museum that would never run out of content, essentially. Oh, yeah.
There's always something more. That's been actually the problem, is now there's too many things. We're gonna need a bigger museum.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I feel like when I think of failure and the ways in which, you know, you can sort of try to like interact with it and conquer it in a way that is more, that is healthier than just sort of wallowing in it, is considering the fact that a lot of times failure can be kind of funny.
Oh, 100%.
And yeah, I'm wondering if that is something that you considered when putting this together, just sort of like the humorous aspect of failure, not just other people's failures, but your own failures and things like that.
Oh, 100%. Even the creation of this, or like trying to do this project, I've failed so many times. And because it's the Museum of Failure, it's just instantly funny every time. For example, I don't do very well with computers. I'm not good with computers. But I got my dad to help me make a website. It's not up yet because my computer is too bad to load the website builder. But he like walked me through buying the domain. I bought it. And he was like, okay, I'll work on this separately. I'll let you know when it's ready. And he sends me a message like 45 minutes later being like, hey, did you mean to misspell the domain name? And I was like, no, I just can't type. So I misspelled museum in the domain name for the website.
And is that going to be what?
No, he fixed it. He fixed it. But okay. Well, he fixed it because I had already refixed an earlier failure multiple times. I'll explain more. There'll be a display at the museum of all the failures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know you said the location can't be disclosed. I'd imagine it'd be somewhere in the city of Vancouver, though.
Yeah, it'll be in East Vancouver.
Okay.
In a storefront.
Cool.
That'll be publicly accessible.
And when do you foresee that coming to fruition?
I'm hoping to open it on January 24th.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Specific date.
Yeah, I've booked the space, so it will be on the 24th unless everything goes wrong, which it sometimes does.
Are, you know, these emails you're receiving, are you just receiving sort of the PDFs of these rejection letters, or have you started to receive like physical artifacts from people that document their failures?
I've gotten the offerings of the artifacts. When I first started the museum, I got one, a friend gave me one submission of a key that was bent in half. So that's my only physical item that I have so far from other people, but I have offerings of, yeah, physical artifacts. I just haven't gone and picked them up yet.
Have you gotten any other, like, sort of, I guess, media attention for this?
I spoke with a documentary filmmaker who reached out to me from Facebook, who's going to help me documenting some of the items. Not enough time to actually stick into anything else, but yeah, she's going to help me document. Lots of people have come out of the woodwork to, like, they can see my fallibility and ineptitudes, and so people are helping me with, like, offering to help me with, like, yeah, web development, or, what other offers have I gotten? There's people offering to volunteer, but no other media. You're my first media. I was very excited.
Well, I'm honored.
It actually reminded me of a failure that you reached out to me. I was like telling my friend, I was like, I'm gonna go be on the radio, and then I remembered that as a teenager, I went and did a movie review for a movie I did not understand on the radio, but I followed through. I like went. It was for a Morgan Spurlock documentary, the like political one. Where in the world is Osama bin Laden? I don't know.
It's
a political documentary. I went and watched it. Did not understand the content. I was like 16, living in Calgary, and like didn't understand the political context. But I tried my best to give a movie review, and it was so bad that they did not air it.
Well, is that review gonna? Do you have the copy of that review? Will that be included in the museum, you think?
I tried to find it online, but they didn't. They didn't want my review, so.
Well.
Disappointing. Just the anecdote that lives in my mind. And now, on this radio.
Yes, exactly. I think one of the last questions I had for you just had to do with, you know, failure is something that, as much as I think this museum is trying to embrace it and sort of make light of it, in a sense, while also kind of honoring people's failures, it is something that is difficult for people to come to terms with. It's something that isn't easy for people to discuss, and it's something that can really, you know, rule people's lives in a sense, you know, whether it is failures occurring or just fear of failure. How do you feel like this project and you sort of embracing failure in the sense like has affected your life?
Good question. I would say that it has sort of... it sort of transformed what a failure can mean more than like what a failure is. Like I think that it's okay to like look at something and say, I tried to do this and it didn't work. But what's sort of important is like, if something doesn't work, like what's next? Or like, what will you do with that? Like the thing about like a failure artifact that's kind of cool is like, if you put it in the museum, it's like the failure still exists, but now it's doing something else. Do you know what I mean? It's like the continuation of its life, and the continuation of its meaning. And it's kind of hokey, but like I think the meaning is in the like sharing that with other people, evoking reach in our own subjectivity. But we can make contact through these like shared experiences of failure, shame, but also like a failure is like you tried to do something. It's an attempt. It's hope. It's, I don't know.
I thank you for that. I think that's really insightful, and I think kind of exemplifies like what this museum and what this project is about.
Thanks.
I think all I would have to ask is if you have anything else about this Museum of Failures that you would want our audience to know about that we haven't discussed.
Oh, sure. I'll just give my little like thing that I say to people when they are asking me about it, or like how to get more involved. If you can please send me an email to Lost and Found Museum. I'm not very good at organizing information, so that's a good spot where I can have everything kind of together and it won't get forgotten. I've made a little submission intake form, and I'll be taking submissions until December 14th, and then I'm going to start curating and deciding what gets in there and what we have space for. And yeah, send me your failures. I like just want to talk to anyone about failure these days. It's so interesting.
Once again, that was our conversation with Avon Collins, the creator of the Museum of Personal Failure, which aims to open up next year in Vancouver on January 24th. This project is still receiving submissions of personal failure, and they can be submitted to lostandfoundmuseum@gmail.com. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. Once again, we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was my interview, once again, with Avon Collins, the creator of the Museum of Personal Failures, coming to you in Vancouver, January 24th. And before I get into the next piece of the hour, I thought I'd play a little music, but a little music that requires a bit of context, because we have a volunteer here at CJSF, a longtime volunteer, as well as board member, Leslie, who has been doing a series of interviews with different idol groups, and it has just been really cool to see Leslie coming in and then being in a boardroom with a bunch of different microphones and mixing equipment in order to interview just so many people at once, from people like Setsuna to... I'm not super up on idol culture, but I think the other one was Maikai Oceanus. But very recently, interviewed for the second time Non-Sweet, a Vancouver-based J-pop group that has begun some serious play here at the station. So in honor of that interview, which I believe aired yesterday, but will be airing again today at 1 p.m., so make sure you stay tuned for that. Here is Non-Sweet with Minigame. If you enjoy the song, check out the interview. It'll be airing at 1 p.m. today, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Whoa-oh-oh, life is like a minigame. Life is like a minigame. It's time for you to press play. Is this who you are?
Once again, that was Non-Sweet with Minigame. Make sure you check out their interview only on CJSF 90.1 FM at 1 p.m. today, as well as on the website. You'll find it at cjsf.ca, I'm sure, later on. But yeah, make sure you stay tuned for that. And coming up next, we have another piece that I had produced last week. Last week, I was given the opportunity to go to Abbotsford, which is not something that I do often, but when I do it with intention. And my intention this time was to have a tour of the Reach Gallery Museum's, as they describe it, blockbuster exhibition, Parallax, which... it tells the history of the 49th parallel, but specifically through the lens of the indigenous communities that were affected by the 49th parallel. There are a lot of historical artifacts at the exhibition, both from the Canadian and American sides of its creation. But one thing that often gets lost in the conversation is just the past and current impacts that the very arbitrary border had on indigenous populations throughout history. So without further ado, here is my piece on that exhibition. Reporting from Abbotsford, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Parallax. The effect by which the position or direction of an object appears to change when the object is seen from different positions. Since June of this year, the Reach Gallery Museum in Abbotsford, BC, has been host to an exhibition titled Parallax, Perspectives on the Canada-US Border. Claimed as being the Reach's most ambitious exhibition to date, Parallax brings together rare archival materials from the historic Northwest Boundary Survey, dated from 1857 to 1862, with new commissions from Indigenous contemporary artists. With these two contrasting perspectives, the goal of this exhibition has been to explore the countless impacts of the 49th parallel on First Nations communities. The international boundary along the 49th parallel was a geopolitical invention by British and U.S. officials, engineers, and surveyors working in indigenous territories in the 19th century. The contributions of indigenous contemporary artists to this exhibition, as stated by The Reach, quote, explored the communities, cultural connections, and ecosystems that were here before and persist today, despite the boundary line's impact on lands, water, and collective imaginations. Offering multiple perspectives on this legacy, Parallax asks us to adjust our vision of the 49th parallel. On November 24th, CJSF was invited for a tour of Parallax, where we were shown the exhibition's various artifacts and contemporary works. What you're now listening to comes from an original vocal composition sung in Hulkamilam by Carrie Lynn Victor, one of the gallery's exhibiting artists. One section of the gallery was dedicated to Toistinat C. Swiss, an artist of Squamish, Stolo, Hawaiian, and Swiss descent. Her part of the exhibition, titled Remembering Kanaka Ranch, is a multimedia reconstruction of her own family's memory of Kanaka Ranch, which existed in what is now Stanley Park and Coal Harbor in Vancouver, BC. Due to her background, the project highlights the long history of Squamish and Hawaiian relations. During the tour, we asked C. Swiss how she wanted her project to be interacted with as one part of Parallax, an exhibition that largely focuses on the history of the 49th parallel.
Yeah, so this time period is happening before the border is put in, and so thinking about that time when people are traveling here, whether they're European settlers or Hawaiian settlers, and then also the indigenous communities coming from their communities on the coast and other places, that they're all kind of traveling through all of these lands that we're all talking about in this time period, and different experiences are happening, and the border in this case hasn't started until maybe halfway till the last third of the existence. It was about 40 or 50 years that Kanaka Ranch exists, and when it started there was no border, but by the time it is basically erased, there is a border. So thinking about that time period and all of these places, what is going on in each of those communities? What are the changes that are being imposed on them? And for us, we see the Hawaiians crossing over the ocean to here with no borders and no, you know, understanding of that other than cultural, territorial borders. And those of us indigenous people also recognizing that. And then I think a lot about when it's developing, because I share in here how many Hawaiians and other settlers are coming in, and they're all interacting with the Hawaiian and Squamish communities there. And they're all building stories, and they're all building community, and they're all seeing, they're all reading in the paper, you know, they're reading about when the parallel is coming together, when that border is being built. So I think a lot about, you know, not just the site, but about the changes that they're all going through. And I can do that because I think about my mother's life and when she was born in the 40s until she passes away last year, and I look at everything that changed in her life. So I can use that as a mental visual guide to what it was like for our community members to be witnessing not only the change, because all of a sudden a city is built around them, right? The bridge gets built, then the roads are built, then more buildings. And so all that is happening as they're like erasing Kanaka Ranch and developing it, but they're also developing this border. So all of those conversations, I think over the, I think there's like a 20-year period where all these changes are happening and people are like just trying to keep up to it all. And, you know, and I think it was probably overwhelming for some of them. But I think some of that, I think about the notes that my mother left. She wrote a book, which I'm going to get published, and I'm going to use that for the VR experience to help people, as you really stated, and I love that, to put a personal face to those individuals that were part of that change. So I hope that's not too long of an answer, but I feel like it had to be a very layered answer because it's so big.
The tour for this exhibition was given by Kelly Tieliu, the curator of art and visual culture at the Reach Gallery Museum. Once the tour